This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
The New Yorker Radio Hour is supported by the Sympathizer podcast from HBO. From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr., The Sympathizer is the new HBO original limited series based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel of the same name. On the Sympathizer podcast, join host Philip Nguyen in conversation with the cast, crew, and author Viet Thanh Nguyen as they discuss the making of this historic series. Stream new episodes of HBO's The Sympathizer, Sundays exclusively on Max, and listen to The Sympathizer podcast wherever you listen to podcasts.
Listener supported, WNYC Studios.
The author Jennifer Egan is out with a new book this month, and it's called The Candy House. It's a kind of follow-up to her novel, A Visit from the Goon Squad. And that book from 2010 won a Pulitzer Prize. Now, Candy House revisits some of the same characters, and it's definitely one of the most anticipated novels of the year. Goon Squad was largely about the music business, and that's not a surprise, because Egan herself is a tremendous music fan, and her ideas about structure and form often owe something to the albums that shaped her as a young listener.
Is there anybody out there?
You know, I came of age in the great era of concept albums, and they were so literary. First of all, there were pages, there was paper. My friends and I pored over the lyrics and the images. And the very nature of a concept album is that it tells one big story in small pieces that sound very different from each other and that sort of collide.
I invited Jennifer Egan to tell us about three concept albums that may have influenced her over time. And she started in 1973. With The Who's Quadrophenia, which tells the story of a disaffected working-class kid in the 1960s.
I think Quadrophenia is really one of the greats because it tells an enormous story. It has such an epic, the music itself has such a lush, epic quality. And I think for me also, part of it was that I fell madly in love with Roger Daltrey. And so I felt that somehow England and the sort of rock and roll version of England really held my future. Can you see the real me, doctor? You know, I grew up in San Francisco. I had never left the country. And for me, this idea of getting to England and somehow merging with the world that seemed to exist there, which did include Roger Daltrey in some way, kind of, you know, tingled as a goal for me. And it really had a huge impact. I mean, I took a gap year before college and I bought a ticket on Freddie Laker Airlines. I packed up a backpack and I went to London.
To visit Roger Daltrey.
Well,
to the doorstep.
I knew that part was a long shot.
What's your favorite track on Quadrophenia?
I think Love, Rain, or Me, which, as I recall, is actually the last one. Again, I think it's sort of, in a way, it captures my narrative impulse, which is always to try to go big if you can.
Right.
I mean, it's pretty over the top.
Totally.
But it's also, you know, it's just a sort of wild, romantic, you know, the ocean is crashing. And again, you have to remember that, you know, love was part of this for me. It's just a big, epic vision. It's storytelling on the highest note. I'm sorry, what 15-year-old girl would not fall in love having heard this song?
Can bring the rain. that makes you yearn to the sky.
Okay, now we go to 1975, one of my favorites of that period, and even now she's still working, Patti Smith.
Oh my God, I don't even know where to start with her. I mean, my two best girlfriends and I, freshman year of high school, fell in love together with Patti Smith, and it felt to me that for that year, she was the narrator of the soundtrack of my life, actually. We just would, you know, frankly, get stoned, lie on the rug, close our eyes, and listen to Horses.
So the album is Horses. What's the cut that did it for you?
Well, the song Horses is just amazing. I mean, it's a very narrative song, although what story it's telling is not completely clear. But it is just, it's a song that feels almost like a concept album in itself because so much happens narratively. And it starts with a boy who seems to be shooting up. We're not really sure. And we end in this very different place. So it's just a totally transporting for me piece of music to this day. It's something I listen to a lot, actually.
While stoned and on a rug.
I've kind of cut out that part, but I like to
longer.
Run to it.
Let's listen.
Her work has such a deep awareness of language as a tool, as a sound. It's just so, it has such a propulsive force to it. And the force is obviously musical, but it's also narrative. And, you know, it's certainly for A Visit from the Goon Squad and my new book, The Candy House, I'm very interested in the relationship between musical narrative and literary narrative. And Patti Smith embodies that.
How does that come to play in the new book?
Well, it's, you know, it's different in that the new book is not really about music per se,
right,
or the music industry in the way that A Visit from the Goon Squad is. But I found myself thinking as I moved into the new book, I was struck by certain musical tendencies that I would hear in different songs. One was by Nada Surf, which is an indie band that I really like. And in this case, I was noticing that a rhythm I hadn't been paying attention to asserts itself very gradually, and then the song ends. And I loved that. I thought, okay, how would I do that narratively? I ask myself that all the time. And then actually, I was reading an article in The New Yorker by a woman who worked in Silicon Valley.
Right, that's Anna Wiener.
Yes. And she talked about how listening to electronic dance music was the perfect soundtrack for the kind of work she was doing, which was completely screen driven. And, you know, she'd be sitting in her apartment with headphones on and listening to one song, kind of one beat yield to another. And she described the moment when the drop would occur. I remember the moment that I read that because I thought, oh, that is exactly the kind of musical principle I want to use to organize this new book that I was, you know, was just working on the beginnings of at that point.
Were you a writer or are you a writer that only took up fiction because the rock star life wasn't going to work out? Would you have liked to have been on stage performing in that way?
No way. I can't sing. I don't play an instrument. I had a terrible public speaking fear that I had to tackle with beta blockers for some years when I first started to publish. No way. However, I have had my good times in the mosh pit, loved rock concerts, and you know, I am just a fan. That's really it. I'm a music fan.
Now, your third and final pick is who?
So my third and final pick is Eminem's Recovery. possibly a surprising choice, but what I loved about Eminem's recovery, which interestingly came out the same month as A Visit from the Goon Squad, my older son was then an enormous Eminem fan. He was 9, I have to hasten to say, because I think he would not like me to be telegraphing this about him. But we would often listen to music with an ear pod in each of our ears.
Young Money. Yeah.
What I realized listening to Recovery was that the concept album was still alive. I don't think I had really known that. You know, there had been sort of a long gap during which I had not really thought much about the form, but I was now thinking about it because I had published a book which had used it as a genre. So I listened to Recovery and I thought, oh yeah, okay, he is absolutely telling a story in pieces that sound different from each other. And it's tremendously language-based. And of course, Eminem is a guy who has made a movie that has a soundtrack and is extremely aware of the storytelling possibilities of his work. So that was really heartening, actually, to discover.
It's a little too late to say that you're sorry now. You kicked me when I was down, but what you say just don't hurt me. That's right, it don't hurt.
Well, the new novel is just terrific, and I really appreciate your sharing your musical history and your time in the mosh pit with us.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
You get no love.
Jennifer Egan's new novel has just been released, and it's called The Candy House. She talked about The Who's Quadrophenia, Patti Smith's song Land, a selection of which is called Horses, and Eminem's Recovery. This is the New Yorker Radio Hour. Stick around.
I'm a little bit sicker than most. It's finna get thick again. They say the competition is stiff, but I get a heart from the now. Stick it in. I ain't never giving in again. Cross into the wind, complete freedom. Look at these rappers, how I treat them.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.